The Property Pod. Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with Moneyweb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in South Africa's expansive property industry. We are back to our Sell Your City series with the mayors of SA's major metros. The big cities are still where most property development takes place and are still commercial hubs, but face pressure with increased urbanization, essentially having to cater for more people and up service delivery in the face of poor SA economic growth, nationally at least over the last decade or so. Next up on the Sell Your City series, we have the young, 30-something and dynamic mayor of Cape Town, Jordan Hill Lewis, to punt his city on the real estate side of things. We all know Cape Town as SA's best-run city, but it has its challenges too. Capetonians love their city and naturally are ambassadors, being the first to trumpet its successes and beauty. Now we have the first citizen of the mother city to do the same on the podcast. Mayor Jordan Hill Lewis, welcome to the Property Pod. How's the weather in Cape Town?
Well, the last few days have been absolutely beautiful. We've had that secret Cape Town season where you've got nice warm sun and no clouds and no wind. So that's the best part of winter. But yes, Cape Town does also have some cold and rain during winter, so I'm sure that is also still coming.
Well, I'm sure it's welcome by both visitors and tourists, or locals rather. To kick it off, Mayor, Sell Your City, why invest in Cape Town? Naturally, we're talking property-wise here, but short shop, if you were in a lift, what would you tell an investor on the property side?
Cape Town has the healthiest property market in South Africa by some distance, both commercial property and residential property, and indeed industrial property as well, is just extremely healthy. The property market is booming. Yields are fantastic. Prices are completely separate to all of the other cities in South Africa in terms of value growth. And demand is healthy. We're still getting healthy foreign interests and foreign buyers. And we've got a strong local economy that is taking up retail and commercial and office space. Vacancies are incredibly low. And all of that is driven off the basis of the fact that this is a city with working infrastructure, reliable, stable, honest, ethical government. And that makes all the difference. This is the city that works, and that reflects in our investment environment.
Well, you see that in the AG's report and other surveys, but can you highlight some of the major property developments in Cape Town being led by the private sector and the significance of these projects for the city? Because there was cranes in lots of parts of the city.
So, I mean, there's developments happening all over the city, and the cranes are everywhere. Those are all kind of medium-sized apartment block and some industrial developments. I think probably the biggest anchor development in the whole city's skyline is the River Club development, which went through a long approvals and court challenge process, but it was absolutely the right thing to stick by that development and that investment. And of course, the result is beautiful and there for everyone to see. That is a 5 billion rand investment just on its own. And that is now entering the first phase is done, and some of the big anchor tenants like Amazon are in already. And now the second phase construction is underway, and the progress is very pleasing.
Do you have any other highlights on that front in terms of other mega projects, also maybe supported by the city in some way or the other?
I think the only other mega projects are affordable housing projects. We've got 3,500 units project at Salt River Market, which is the city is supporting. We have a massive development that's called Conradi Park, which is mainly led by the provincial government, but the city is supporting as well. Those are all in the subsidized housing space and affordable housing and first-time buyer space, so kind of gap market space. And those are both mega developments. So those are probably the biggest.
So This is almost an obvious answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it because I'm keeping it static, the list of questions to the different mayors. I asked it for Mayor Silius Brink recently, as well as, unfortunately, the Durban mayor couldn't make it and they had the head of real estate. But is Cape Town investment friendly? I know what your answer is there, but how is the city supporting and attracting private sector real estate investment into the metro?
Yes, Cape Town is investor friendly, not only because of the excellent performance of investments, the financial performance of investments in the city, but also because we are trying everything possible to make the city administrative processes more business and investor friendly. We are the only city that has publicly held ourselves accountable. We are going out every year to ask the business community to rate us on the ease of doing business with the city. And we publish those results. We don't hide them. We want to make sure that we are getting better over time and getting easier over time to do business with. We also are trying to cut red tape, and we're about to, literally in the next few days, release a major overhaul of our planning and building approvals bylaw, which will make it simpler and quicker to get approvals through the system. We already have a fully automated online system, but still there are a number of applications and timelines that have to be adhered to, and we're trying to simplify those. So we are really trying everything possible to not only talk about improving the ease of doing business, but actually make ourselves publicly accountable to delivering an easier to do business city.
Mayor, just to add there, you know, Cape Town has been at the forefront of wheeling and, you know, trying to avoid load shedding as much as possible. Do you want to give us a little bit of update on this? GrowthPoint is involved with wheeling and other players now. So that obviously has a positive effect on the property market, whether it's commercial or residential.
Oh, yes, this is very important. Firstly, before we get to wheeling, let me just talk about cash for power, because this is unprecedented in Africa, so far as we can tell, where we are actually buying power from households and businesses. No other city is paying cash for the power that people send back to them. And that's very significant. And we've already paid out more than 30 million rand to households and businesses in cash and in credits against their municipal bill for the power that they sell to us. So we are doing that. Then secondly, the wheeling that you spoke about, that allows people to sell power to one another, mainly businesses, as you were referring to GrowthPoint properties, to sell power to one another over our grid. They pay us a wheeling fee for the use of our infrastructure, and otherwise they come to terms between each other. And that is also live and running. We have 40 wheeling customers on the city grid now. It's a small number, but I suspect it will grow very rapidly. And that's very, very encouraging. That helps people, for example, huge data centers that are very power intensive, they cannot afford any load shedding. They are now able to wheel power across the grid and prevent any load shedding at their properties. So, and then, you know, we are buying power from independent power producers, big power producers, so that over time we can stop load shedding in the city.
Well, thanks for that update. 40 wheeling projects, I'm sure it's the largest in South Africa currently, considering the city was a forerunner in that. Mayor, turning to some of the challenges, it's not all rosy. It looks beautiful, but there are challenges even for a city like Cape Town. What are some of the challenges for the metro in terms of the property sector in particular and unlocking development? There are various, but you did mention social housing before, and that has been quite a topic issue, especially in terms of the balancing act, because Cape Town gets a lot of foreign investors as well. So there is a little bit of uneasiness by some locals around things like, you know, affordability in Cape Town.
Yeah, that is a concern, especially for first-time buyers. It's very difficult to get your foot on the property ladder in Cape Town because of the cost of new apartments and homes. So you've got to increase supply. There's no other way to do it. And so, you know, the market is incentivized to deliver more supply in the luxury end of the scale because that's where the best financial returns are. So we have to help to incentivize the market to deliver more in the affordable and inclusionary end of the market. And the way that we are trying to do that is by a range of mechanisms, like using city land, releasing city land at a discount for social housing units. We are actually funding, we've put together for the again for the first time, I think, a development fund which will help cover certain development costs, like the cost of bulk service connections and so on, for developers if they are delivering affordable housing. So we're coming up with a whole range of incentives to try to get more market activity and more development activity at the cheaper, more affordable side of the market. And hopefully over time that delivers many, many more affordable units in the city than the state is able to provide, which is very little given the country's very serious financial problems. Our housing grants have been shrinking every year, and they will continue to shrink. We think in the foreseeable future they will continue to shrink. So we have to move to other mechanisms of affordable housing delivery.
Thanks for that. Are there any other challenges that you'd like to highlight before I go on to the hot topic of rates and taxes?
I mean, you know, it's very much a South African city. So we have huge poverty, and poverty brings with it all kinds of very serious challenges. Chief among them, crime and the theft of infrastructure and metals, the destruction of our city infrastructure that is invested in poor communities, joblessness and the impact that has on housing, whereas there are many, many people who cannot even afford subsidized housing and have to rely on fully subsidized free state housing. That is an enormous challenge to meet, but that is true in every South African city. We are no different there. And so we have to just make sure that we are as creative as possible in trying to address that. And then I think the other challenge that applies to every city is that of infrastructure. Our cities are very rapidly growing, thousands and thousands of people moving to the city every month. We're not exactly sure what that number is, but we know that it is thousands. And that places more and more pressure on your city infrastructure. So you've got to constantly be investing to stay ahead. And we've made a decision that we are going to invest very heavily in infrastructure. We're investing in the region of 13 billion rand a year. That's more than Johannesburg and eThekwini combined infrastructure. And that's every year for the next few years to make sure that we can keep up with that growth curve and stay ahead of that curve ultimately.
It's good to hear about the infrastructure investment. I'm sure it'll have positive benefits for everyone. Mayor, spiraling rates and taxes and service delivery issues are often raised as major concerns by property developers. Listed REITs and industry associations like SOPOA are generally across the country. Cape Town hasn't been mentioned as often, but I'm sure, you know, within the cost of escalations in lights and water and that sort of thing, and the infrastructure spending that you going to roll out in Cape Town over the next few years, that costs money. Please, can you give us some insights in terms of the competitiveness around rates and taxes? Because that is an issue even for the big property players across the country.
Yeah. So if you just compare the published budgets of all the metros, you'll see that Cape Town has the most competitive rates and taxes in the country. We have got by far the cheapest property rates in South Africa, 30% lower than Johannesburg, and even lower than that for other cities like eThekwini and Port Elizabeth or Gqeberha. So much more competitive on property rates. On service charges, we are competitive, not that much, not 30, 40, 50% cheaper, but still very competitive, if not cheaper than other cities for service charges. And the reason for that is that we actually do have a growing, thriving property market. And so you can raise more income from a growing, thriving property market without raising taxes. So we are able to keep our rates and taxes and service charges reasonable and competitive, and even in the case of rates, well below other cities, because we have that thriving property market. And that's the way that it's supposed to work. That's actually the model. The one exception, of course, is electricity, because like every other city in the country, we are a price taker, not a price maker. And there's often a lot of confusion about this, that the cities set their own electricity prices. We really don't. the vast majority of the cost pressure that we face is set by Eskom. We are Eskom customers just like every other customer in the country. We pay Eskom about R1 billion a month. And so when Eskom increases their prices, we have to follow. We can't absorb those increases ourselves. So we are an electricity price taker. On top of the Eskom price, we also have to service nearly half a million streetlights that we pay for the electricity for, we pay for the service for. We look after our own electricity reticulation grid and infrastructure, all of our own substations and so on. So there's a cost on top of the base cost of Eskom that we have to cover. So people often misunderstand the pricing kind of terrain in electricity in South Africa, but it is overwhelmingly driven by the Eskom-NERSA decision-making nexus.
Mayor, last question. Cape Town has done quite well on this front, the urban renewal and CBD urban renewal front compared to the other cities. But what are some of the initiatives that the city has in place to boost and support urban renewal? I know I spoke to the Cape Town City Improvement District last year, I think, and they've been tremendously successful. And I think they have the biggest budget of any of the urban CCIDs in South Africa. So what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, they do an incredible job. All of the improvement districts in Cape Town do a wonderful, wonderful job. We now have more than 50 of them. And they are just incredible. And we're really grateful for that partnership with them. But the other work that we are doing is just to focus on more cleaning, on protecting our public spaces, just really making sure that our CBD in particular can remain the economic anchor in the city. We cannot allow our CBD to go the way of so many other CBDs in the country. So we are really determined to make sure that this remains as a economic anchor.
Mayor, I appreciate your time on the podcast today. That was Jordan Hill Lewis, the mayor of the city of Cape Town.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.